So, Father, I thank you for tonight and every word that you will say. Everything that you'll do, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, we love you so much. We love you because you first loved us. You continue to teach us how to love you. Some of us have come from broken homes, never had relationship with anyone that's been healthy, and you woo us. You continue to woo us and lead and guide us into all truth. Teach us how to rest in your peace and your love and your joy. I know there's people in here who struggle with anxiety and big mountains. But I want to encourage you tonight to rest. Lay your burdens down and rest in the sweetness of the King. And if you can trust him, he will show a way to your victory. We've got a lot that the Lord is releasing, and we try to just go with the flow of the Spirit of God. And, you know, as we transition from worshiping him, how great he is, did you notice that when you transitioned from thinking of the worry and the stress, you were able to maybe sing a song and connect, and did you feel the peace of God come on your heart? So I was going to save this for later, but I feel like the Lord wants me to release it now. Some of you only feel his peace when you're worshiping him through song or music or dance, and you struggle with thoughts. You know, maybe a daydream, or you think of something, and you have understood how to bring yourself back in worship. But I heard the Lord say that he's going to teach you how to do this 24/7, how to stay in him while you are doing your chores, working. And one of the things he told me was, command your emotions, command your mind to line.
Hallelujah. So we're going to do something a little different. The one thing I've always hated to do as a minister is absolutely hate to take offerings. It feels like begging, and that's not right. So I'm going to share something that I don't talk about a lot, and this is how I do my giving. This has been such a liberating thing for me. You know, have you ever noticed that in the body there's kind of this, oh my God, we got to do the offering. And sometimes it's because for many years there was so much manipulation in the church, you know, cranking you for your money, right? And then people responded by saying, and I'm not saying this is you guys, but I'm saying for some years this was the deal. You know, all they want is my money. So there became this icky, perverted, twisted thing that God never, that was never the deal. So can we just take all that and go throw it out? It's garbage. And so, you know, there's a Bible verse that talks about a ministry of giving. Not everybody has that, but for whatever reason, it was the first, when God didn't use me to do anything, he gave me a ministry of giving. And when you have that, you just love, it's just, you'd rather give than do other things. It's crazy. And so, I had a lot of fun with that because I had a friend that had, her husband left her when she was 8 months pregnant with her fifth child. And she had no means at all. And so I didn't have any ministry, but I did have a good job and I made some good money. So God and I would walk through the grocery store or the, you know, Kmart, Walmart, whatever, and he would pick stuff, strange things off the shelf, say two of those, four of those, and I would pick some things and say, why this? Well, what he was doing was actually teaching me to hear his voice. And I'd get to her house. He made me buy like four things of, you know, number 100 sunblock. And I remember thinking, who, 100, you know? And so I thought, four, you know? Well, it turned out, to make some money, she was given horseback riding lessons. And her children were all very fair. And so she had a kid strapped on, or a kid in a buggy, two kids running around while she's trying to make a few dollars. And they were all fair-skinned and burning. So four things. So what's happening to me? I'm learning, oh, this is the voice of God. And so God and I started to make kind of a fun game out of giving, like a relationship thing. And so, you know, instead of thinking about offerings here or there or anywhere you go, begin to think about that God has actually gifted you with an idea of stewardship. Everything you own, whether it's a button or a pen or a car or a home, it's actually His, but you're stewarding it. If you don't know that, it'll be hard for you when God says, hey, give me your pen. You're like, what do you, that's my pen. But if you already know it's His pen and you're just managing it, then it's like, oh, okay, here's your pen back, right? And so God began to kind of teach me how to just steward for Him. And it's such a blessing because as a faithful steward gets rewarded, right? And so we made a game out of, this is strange, but I was talking to my sister on the phone and she was really broke. And she really wanted to give 10%, but for her that was like, you know, it might as well have been $1 million. She was struggling. And I said, you know, God knows where you're at. Please don't carry a burden about it. He knows your heart. He knows your heart is you'd give 100. She would. She'd give 100 if she had it. But she said this thing. She said, you know, someone told me don't tithe off of what you make. Tithe off what you want to make. And I thought, oh, I like that. Well, I started thinking, you know, tithe by definition is 10%. So I thought, okay, God, let's do this fun thing. I'm not telling you to do this. I just want to tell you my story. So I started to make up percentages that were ever increasing, right? So I started growing my percentage just for fun, just a fun thing between me and God. And nobody knew about it. And I would sit with the Lord, and I would just say, you know, I would go and look at my, I use Quicken, I would go and look at my account and say, oh, this much came in, you know, I figured out what came in, and I would, you know, multiply by that percentage. And then I would sit with the Lord and say, this is your money, where would you like it to go? And He would give me places, sometimes He would tell me places I'd never heard of. One time He said to me, Angel Ministries, and I'm like, what's Angel Ministries? Well, it's Ann Graham Lotz, it's Billy Graham's daughter. How cool was that, right? So it became a fun game of hearing from Him and doing whatever He wanted to do. But as I started increasing my percentage, weird stuff started to happen. So I'm working at this big corporation, it's got 60,000 people, right? I'm on the second floor, way in the corner where there's no oxygen, right? Nobody knows me, I'm not anybody. There's one award a year given to one employee out of 60,000. Guess who gets it? The bonus they gave me was $13,000. I'm thinking, okay, I'm liking this, right? So now, you know, there was a, Satan kind of whispers, oh, well, that, you know, that was God's gift to you. You don't have to tithe off that. Oh, excuse me, that's not true. So I jacked up the percent, another 2%, and gave off of that. And we started to have a lot of fun with it. And I'm not telling you you're all called to this, but what I want to say is this. If you listen to us whenever we take offerings, we say, sit with the Lord, ask Him when to give, how much to give, and where to give. It doesn't have to be to us. David said this thing that so impressed me, changed my life, actually. Remember the story where a man tried to give David a threshing floor? And the guy had a good heart. He was going to give him this threshing floor to give it as an offering to God. And when you read the next scripture, David's almost incensed. He says, I would not give something to God that didn't cost me. When I read it, I thought, David had a whole different concept of giving than we do. You know, we just think it's this thing you're supposed to do, you know, take a bill and wad it up so it looks like a bigger bill, because what if somebody sees me not give, so I better put something in, you know? I'm telling the truth, you know, but it's better not to give if that's the give, right? But if there's something, think about what He's done for you. Like with me, I think about what He's done for me and I think, what could I do that would really cost me something, right? Think about Abraham, you know, in the Battle of the Kings, and he like invented the tithe. Well, God gave it to him, but he gave 10%. And the Bible says God made Abraham very rich. I'm not saying that this is something you have to go do, but I'm saying I want to bring liberty to this whole giving thing. It's not something you have to do. It's if you should never feel funny if you don't. I remember sitting in a church and there was this, God bless him, this preacher in the front, and he was preaching with a red face and he had that thing, you know, and he's like kind of pushing you to give. And I said, Lord, you know, because it wouldn't matter how hard somebody pushed. If God doesn't tell me to give, I ain't giving. And if God tells me to give a lot, I'm giving a lot. So he said this, he was like pressuring a little bit. And I said, Lord, what would you want me to give? He said, not one red cent. I said, I bleed the blood of Jesus? He said, not one red cent. Well, I don't know the man's life, but maybe the Lord was like, or maybe he was just saying, save your cent for somewhere else. But it became a lifestyle of just giving where God wanted. And there's a great deal of liberty in it, because remember in the olden days when they brought their gift to the temple, there was no man involved. If you study about the temple, I love the temple, there were these things that were actually shaped like horns, and people would bring their gift and put it directly into those. And so there was no sense of giving it to a ministry or a person. They were giving it to the Lord. And I think God wants us to return to that, that what you give, first of all, it's between you and God. And God respects it. He calls it holy. It's a holy thing. And God wants you to give in liberty and joy. And if it's not something you can do, don't feel condemned about it. Just say, hey, Lord, bring me to a place where I can do it. You know, because he gives seed to the sower, right? And so, you know, I just want to share one more thing. What he showed me, you know, that parable of the coins, the talents. And remember, one guy buried it, you know. Next guy earned one, I think. And the guy that had five, he doubled his. And when the master came, he was so impressed that this guy had doubled his, he said, you know, in one, there's two versions of the story. In one, he told the other, you know, take the coins from that guy and give them to this guy. And the other one, he said, make him ruler over 10 cities. And God showed me that there's something about when you're faithful in stewardship, when you're faithful with that which is least, which is money. Money's the least. That's the lowest thing. Then he gives you rulership over cities, right? He gives you authority in the realms of heaven in areas that you've probably been praying for. So if you're a steward, if you're faithful with a little thing, we do the same thing. We do the same thing with folks. If folks come and they're not super faithful, well, you're not going to entrust them with more because you don't know if they're going to show up or not, right? The same thing. But if we have somebody and they're just old faithful and they just, old faithful, they just keep coming and doing their job, we go, huh, that person can handle it, right? That's exactly how God looks at it. So God loves you. If you can't give, don't ever feel bad. Just say, hey, God, give me something to give. Just give me something, you know, that I can give to you. Then say, hey, where do you want this? This is your money, Lord. Where do you want it? Amen? So we are receiving an offering, but I just wanted you to understand.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to do something different tonight. We're going to do something fun. We're actually going to listen to the Lord and release words. And it may be a word of wisdom, maybe a word of knowledge, maybe prophetic, and it may be physical or emotional healing. So I'll start, but Janet and Lori are going to help me. The first one I saw is that someone has an issue at the base of your stomach. It's a physical problem, but I felt like the Lord said, you have a tendency to hold on to worry. And sometimes that worry has festered. And the Lord is releasing you, he said, not only from the stomach issue, it's in your digestive tract. It may be an ulcer, but I'm not sure. But it does have to do with the lining of your stomach. It's lower stomach, the lower part of your belly. And he said, but he's not just releasing you from the physical part of it. He's releasing you from the tendency to carry stuff so intensely. You carry things, and you don't want to. You're trying not to. But he's releasing you from, it's like a spirit of fear. And you get anxious, and you hold stuff, and you, like, hold it tightly and fret over it, and it has actually caused this physical thing. And the Lord says he's freeing you right now. So if you don't know how to receive a word, maybe you've never been in a meeting where they did this, if you think that's you, if you think it even might be you, say, I received that one. And don't say, is it me? Is it her? Is it me? What we've seen as many as 4 and 5 people healed off of one word. Because God is releasing that healing power in the room. It's in the room. So anybody can have it, okay?
All right. I heard the word regret. I saw somebody like looking at their past and saying, I wish I hadn't done that. And I feel like what the Lord wants to release is peace about that past. And not only peace, but bring the good from the past. And you begin to give you the vision to see that those words and those things that happened in the past will not affect your future. Actually, I heard this song, and it was like, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Just receive it.
Amen. Amen. All right, so I saw a fork in the road, and I think this may actually be tied or similar to the regret thing. Some years ago, person here, you made a choice at a fork in the road, and you've often looked back and wondered, what if I would have, you know, made that other choice? And I feel like God is saying to you, even if you made the wrong choice, he moves to meet you where you're at today. You know, he will come and find you. And one time I found myself out, and I felt like I thought, oh, did I just take such a wrong turn, and now I'm so far out at the wood, in the middle of the woods, and I hit a dead end, and I don't even know where I am anymore. You know, and yet I loved God with all my heart, but I just felt like I'm stuck, and I must have really screwed up. And God spoke to me, and he said, don't you know that in 1 second, I can pick you up and put you right smack in the center of my will for you. And I said, please do, and he did. In 1 second, it was like complete shift. He has already paid for all our mistakes. And even if there's someone here, you feel like you've lost some years, and you feel like, oh, did I mess it up so bad that now I can't fulfill my calling? And the Lord says, no, I accounted for that. I already accounted for that in your road. Just looking. Okay, you guys don't talk. I'm just going to keep talking. All right. I see the anointing rising up in someone. There's someone here, you know you're called. You know you have an anointing in you, and it's like it tries to bubble up, but then it goes back down. Tries to bubble up, and then it goes back down. And you've had a worry and concern about your calling. And you've struggled because humans have not recognized it or understood it. I feel like the Lord wants you to know this. No human can see your calling. It's not humanly possible. So the only people that can, so don't get upset if your pastor doesn't know who you are or understand why you are the way you are. But God does. And I feel like he wants me to say this. When I was young, I used to think, why doesn't my pastor see? Why can't he see? Well, he had 500 people, for one thing. And God hadn't revealed to him. It wasn't that he couldn't see. It's that God had not revealed it. And the reason was, I wasn't ready. Because a lot of times we have the gift. We're born again with the gift. We have it right away. But we are not prepared in any way to carry it or release it or operate in it well. And so there's this time where your gift is in you, but it's growing. It's like a seed that God puts in you. And it's like, just like the parable where he said the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that grows, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then the birds of the air can nest in its branches. Well, I never really understood that scripture until God gave me a vision. And what it was a vision of a person with a seed inside that grew into a small tree. But the tree was inside them, so it wasn't visible to anyone. But as the person kept praying and seeking the Lord and changing and growing, the tree began to come outside of them, and it began to be visible. And then as they kept praying, the tree got bigger and bigger until it was this great, vast tree that had all this fruit on it. And then everybody could see what they were called to do, and they could just come and pick fruit, or they could sit in the shade of the tree, or the birds of the air could rest in the branches. So if you feel frustrated, there's people in here, you are called to do something, and you know it. You've got this gut feeling. I know I'm called. I know God promised this. Why isn't it happening? You know what? Just keep praying and keep adjusting to anything God wants, you know, because your vessel has to be prepared to carry. You know, a big tree takes a lot of, you know, it takes some carrying. So your vessel has to be strengthened to carry the glory, right? Some of you have asked for big things. You've asked to do big things in the kingdom, and God wants you to. But I'll never forget, when I was young, he said, but you can't do it the way you are, right? Because your vessel must, because a vessel that's not strong will crack under pressure, okay? And so we're all in a process of being changed and strengthened, growing from faith to faith and glory to glory, so we can carry or house the thing he's called us to carry. And until we're ready for that, it won't manifest. So the timing on his calendar isn't some set date where we say it's his time. That timing moves back or forth depending on how we make ourselves ready. Okay? Anybody understand that? All right. So I saw a person in here, and the Lord says, now this is his words, I wouldn't use these words, you came from a colored past, and you had a radical encounter with Jesus, and it was like one of those lightning bolt moments, and you got free from a lot of stuff, and you actually have a great call on your life to go into the dark places and set the captives free, but the enemy has been nipping at you and trying to belittle you, to like shine a mirror of your past on you, and the Lord says, there is no past. There is no past. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and he's calling you forward out of that. I see where you're at. It's a little cloudy because the fiery darts have been hitting, trying to penetrate, but you have great faith because you had a major God encounter. And I see the Lord is challenging you to move into him and out of that murky area where the enemy tends to battle on you. So I hear the Lord saying, come out and come in to me. Amen.
I have to release this. I feel like there's someone here with a, it actually, there's such anxiety that your heart beats faster. It's almost like it goes in arrhythmia, it goes quicker, because whatever is, I do believe it's a spirit of anxiety. And I saw it like it was so strong that there was like fear of walking into, I mean, where it's maybe a little hard to even go into a grocery store, places where, you know, there's something that gets stirred up in there. And I just want, I feel like what the Lord wants to do is it like an instant healing, an instant deliverance from that, because it is actually a spirit that has been holding you back from what the Lord has in for you, is like even walking into, walking not only into your destiny, your future, but just your everyday life, where that that fear and anxiety is completely removed and replaced by the peace and the joy that he wants to put in you.
Amen. The words I heard were crushed identity. And we talked a lot about how things that happen to us, I don't know if you were here this morning or not, we talked a little bit about how things can happen to you that crush who you are, or who God intended you to be. And they cause you to feel like you're nobody, or you could never become anybody, or God could never use you, or you have no value. And I don't know who you are, but I actually think there may be more than one person with this issue. And I saw the strangest thing. I saw it looked like an old-fashioned watering can that you would water the garden with. And I saw the Lord coming along with this old-fashioned watering can, and he was watering the real seed of your true identity. And you were just feeling like, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm not important, I don't matter. And the Lord says, I beg to differ. And he was watering that seed. It's pure and it's holy, and it's who he made you to be. And as he watered it, that true identity started. You ever see a sprout? It looks like it, first it looks like this, and then it goes, you know? It like starts bent, but it comes up. And I saw this true identity beginning to sprout in you. And there was another party that was like, I thought so. I thought there was some reason I was on earth, but I didn't dare to believe it because you were so crushed. I feel like you were so crushed by people's words and their behavior. And the Lord says, I want you to know that is never how I felt about you. That is never how I've spoken about you, and that is not how I see you. I see you as I created you to be, holy, beautiful, lovely, perfect. And I'm raising something up in you. Don't worry about doing anything. Don't worry about being good enough or getting it right. Just let me water that thing in you that I put in you, because I'm raising something up. And when you see it, you are going to be delighted. You're going to be the happiest you've ever been. You're going to say this. You're going to say, I do have a purpose. I am here for a reason. I always wondered. Hallelujah.
You know, when we were, I think it was earlier this morning, we were talking about, it might have been this afternoon. I don't know when it was. But being in a cage, being caged, and we had a worship song. But I saw someone in there, and I saw Jesus come, and it was like he just actually showed, he just opened the door, and there actually was no lock on that cage. It was like I just thought I was, and then Jesus just opened it real easily, and you walked right out, and you didn't even look back. You didn't even look back.
Awesome. So I saw somebody that has issues of substance abuse, and this is cage related, and you know, it's become such a way of numbing the pain that you've had to go through and the past pain, and so it's been like just out of repetition, and I hear the Lord saying, I am freeing you now, trust me. And I see, as I spoke that, I actually saw the chains break off of two people in here that are struggling with substance abuse.
Amen. I saw a picture of a baby earlier, but it was like a baby in the womb, but it was getting close. It was getting close to being born. And then I heard the word abortion. I was like, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because in my life, babies haven't always been babies. They've sometimes been ministries, okay? I don't know if you speak parable, but quite often a baby might be your ministry. You're birthing something from the Lord, right? Because remember, the Lord puts a little seed in us that's holy from heaven, and we pray it through, and then, boom, there it is. Well, what I saw was someone in here that you've been carrying something from the Lord for a long time, but sometimes just before the birth, it gets so difficult that you just feel like, oh, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I'm done with this. You've been through a lot. This person I'm talking to, I have my eyes shut because I don't want to look at you. You've been through too much, and it's almost been like, I just don't even want to do this anymore. Like, I'm sorry I asked. That's kind of the feeling. And I felt like it has been a difficult time for you because of your natural circumstances. It has not been easy to carry this ministry baby, this thing from God. And it never is, right? It never is easy. But I feel like the Lord says to you, you are so close to birthing this child. You're so close. Don't quit now. The enemy is a nervous snail. He's nervous. He's afraid that you are going to bring forth the thing that God wants in the earth. And so he has actually sent people to discourage you. He sent words to discourage you. He sent circumstances to discourage you, because he does not want this ministry brought forth. But God picked you to bring it forth. So don't, I know when you're in it, it's easy to grow weary. But the Lord is saying, don't grow weary. But pray, just pray in the Spirit, because I'm bringing something forth through you that will change lives. It will help people. It will set people free. And didn't I tell you? He's saying, have I not told you? Didn't I promise you years ago? Did you not sit on your bed and hear me say to you? Didn't you not hear me say that I was going to use you to do a great and mighty work? Didn't I tell you that I was going to open up your life? I was going to open doors that were in you that would help people. And so you said yes, and you've gone through a very difficult process, but that's part of the deal, because I was preparing you to carry this thing. I was making you ready to release something that's heavenly. You know, And you can't just do that any old way. And so I've been making you ready. So don't give up now. Don't quit now. That was me. That is my kid you're carrying. It is something of me that's from heaven. And when you release it, you'll see lives change.
So earlier today, Janet was sharing her testimony about her life, and she struggled with some tormenting spirits. And if you remember the story earlier today, she was actually manifesting, you know, her nerves were messed up, and she thought she might have had Tourette's, but it really wasn't. It was a demon operating and trying to hold her back. And during that message, the Lord reminded me of a struggle I used to have many years ago. And I feel like I'm going to share this because I see there's a couple in people in here that will relate to this. But many years ago, when I would go to bed at night, I would see these giant spiders come down from a web and get like right, I mean, these things were like this big. And I would be sleeping, but I would be seeing them while I was sleeping. And I would jerk out of bed and scream at the top of my lungs. And my husband would be like, what, what? I'm like, the spider. And he never saw the spider, and I saw those spiders, and they tormented me. And they tormented me for years. Mm-hmm. And one day I got a hold of that scripture, behold, I give you authority to trample every work of darkness, including the spiders. I'm paraphrasing it, but that was the situation in my life. And so I began to stand against the darkness in my household. And one of the things I want to say is, for people that are struggling with tormenting, you know, seeing tormenting things in the spirit, I want to encourage you, because oftentimes the enemy will manifest himself and show the dark side to scare you away from the good side. And oftentimes people shut down their giftings because they're so freaked out about what they see, so they stop dreaming or they don't want to press in, because all they see is bad stuff. I want to tell you something. If that's you, ask the Holy Spirit to redirect your eyes to see His goodness in His kingdom. Ask Him to open the eyes in the spirit realm to see fully. And then I challenge you, when you see, ask Him, why am I seeing this and what's this about? And grow in that gifting. Amen.
I'm remembering this, and I feel like I just have to tell this story, because back when I was in the jail ministry, there was a lot of, I dealt, of course, with a lot of addicts that came into the, you know, and they were fresh off the streets, because it's jail, not prison. And so one of the things the Lord told me to do, and for some reason He's bringing this to mind tonight, He told me to put, I couldn't bring in a basket. I couldn't bring in anything. So He said, put an imaginary basket on the table. And I always told the ladies, there's a basket there. And He said, I will deliver them of whatever they ask. I will do it. Now, I'm not sure why He's saying it here tonight, but I feel like there's things that people have prayed for. I want to be delivered. I don't want to wait another day. And I want this freedom. And so there's a basket in this room. And He wants you to take that. They used to write it on a piece of paper, and they knew every time they came into the room to throw it right in the middle of the table in the basket. What I saw happen is I saw deliverance from meth addictions. I saw hepatitis B be instantly healed and medically proved. And He did it. They just took the step and threw it in the basket. So I just want to say there's a basket right here. If you've got anything you got, you can put it in there now, because He wants to deliver you.
Amen.
So do you want to put it on the table? Or?
Oh, yeah. Actually, if you did want to write anything down, because I never looked at them either. I never looked at what they wrote down. I wasn't allowed to take them out, so I prayed over them before I had to put them in the, and I hid them in the trash because I couldn't take anything in or out of the jail. So, but if you want to do it in the natural, I really believe that this is the Lord wanting to set you free of whatever it is.
Amen.
So you can put it up here if there's a basket.
Amen. Amen. I think there's more to it. I'm actually seeing, so keep going. If you're doing it, keep doing it, but I'm just going to share this. Earlier, I saw a picture of a young boy. He was about 5 or 6, maybe, I don't know, just a young boy. And I'm not sure if you're the grandma or what your role is. This is a real boy. And I saw that you had suddenly become more involved with this boy, like maybe he was put in your care more often, and you saw that he was an unusual child. That's the word the Lord said. He's unusual. And you have cried out to God, how do I help this child? And the Lord said, I picked you, whoever you are, I picked you to help this little boy because of some things that you have in you that others don't. I picked you, and this is a big ministry. You may not feel like you're a minister, but you are to that boy. And so I also felt if you feel like it, you may want to put the name of someone that you're, a child in your family, someone in your family that you're putting at the foot of the cross, that you're releasing unto Jesus. There's like a release here. And don't let shame, I felt like there's someone you'd like to come forward, but you've struggled with shame or embarrassment. And listen, we've all put stuff in this basket, every one of us. So don't let Satan talk you out of it.
Yeah, and if, as a matter of fact, I asked the Lord why he did the way he did that. And he said, because every time they would write something down throughout the class and throw it in the basket, it was such an act of faith that he just was so faithful back. Because they trusted him enough to do that. So he was faithful.
I'm seeing a really weird picture, but I'm going to be obedient to God even though I don't understand it. I saw a patch of dry ground, like dry, dusty, deserty ground. It was a small patch. It's never been able to grow anything, ever. And I don't know who this is for, but I saw it bursting with flowers. And I'm reminded of flowers in the desert. I don't know any more than that. I'm releasing you, he says, from trauma. He says, I am releasing you from trauma. There's people in here, I feel like there's more than one, but he's saying in the name of Jesus, he is saying, you took a terrible blow, a terrible, terrible hit, and it impacted your life, and it was such a trauma that it actually dislodged things. It actually has caused you problems for years, and for years you have prayed about it. And right now the Lord says, I am reversing the trauma. I am reversing it. It will be as though it never happened. I'm undoing it. I'm undoing it in your mind, your soul, and your body. I am releasing you from the trauma that happened to you. I am releasing you. This is a little bit separate. I'm releasing you from betrayal. There's people in here, you suffered terrible betrayal, and it actually has caused you, the way the Lord is saying it, to walk with a limp. Because it's been hard for you to trust again. It's been hard for you to love again. It's been hard for you to be in church again. It's been hard for you to believe again because you were so betrayed, and it was really unjust what happened. But you know, the devil is real, and sometimes he does use people. But the Lord says, I would never betray you. I will never betray you, and I want to restore you so that you can live again, breathe again, hope again. And I'm seeing that resurrection power that he has, and I'm seeing him breathe. Sometimes he breathes his resurrection life. If you need resurrection life in your body, mind, soul, or spirit, I'm going to have you breathe in. He's breathing out. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. Live again. Live again. Dream again. Hope again. Dream again. Hope again. Some of you gave up on your dreams. Your dreams were so broken. I saw what someone's dream. It had been battered and bashed and then crumbled and then turned into dust. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse until there's absolutely no hope for this dream. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it comes, it is a tree of life. And the Lord says, now I can work with it. Dust is what I build things from. Because when your dream was still solid, sometimes that's not pliable enough for me. But when I have dust, I can build with that. And he says, I will take the dreams. Those dreams that came from me are holy. And many times they must die before they can be resurrected in purity. Many times. And so I am breathing on the dust. Some of you have had, you feel like your whole life was dust because everything you wanted was broken and shattered. Everything you dreamed of, everything you hoped for is broken and shattered. And you just felt like Humpty Dumpty, like I don't know what God could even heal me of because there's just like nothing left. That someone in here actually felt like that. There's, I got nothing left. I got nothing. It's done. I'm done. I don't even know why I'm going to this meeting. And I saw the Lord say, I'm so glad you came because I have resurrection power for you. It's my specialty. It's what I do. And I'm raising some things in you that you thought would never live again. So there's someone here, 30 years you've had a dead dream living. You've been walking around with this dead dream. And it's always been, there's been a little bit of sorrow and sadness because you just couldn't, you couldn't make it happen. But it was still such a desire of your heart. And I saw God breathe just gently, just so gently. And I saw the dust start to swirl. He just breathed so gently and the dust was kind of just starting to swirl inside you just a little bit. And you felt just the very slightest, the very faintest, like, is that something? Is God doing something? Is there actually, could there be a little hope? But then as he kept breathing, I saw this dust rising and growing more and more, and it turned to like gold dust, and it started to take form, and it started to become a living, bona fide dream. And don't say I'm afraid to hope again, I don't want to be hurt anymore, because God says when I raise it, it will be so delightful to you. It will be such a wonderment to you. You'll be like a little kid. You will actually say, I never thought I'd have this. I never thought I'd get to have this. I never thought it would be like this. But Jesus did it. And one great thing is when he resurrects it, we all know we couldn't do it. We tried. We tried everything we could to make that thing go, and we couldn't do it, right? And so the glory of that is when he does it, everybody knows it was only him. And only he will ever get the glory because he raised the dead. Some of you have dead parts of your heart. You know, I actually have a thing over there called Oasis of Healing Power, Raising the Emotionally Dead. And the reason is I went through too much for too long and a piece of my soul shut down. I couldn't take any more. And I just went numb. I went dead. It's just like I just couldn't feel anymore. And there grew a numbness in me. I just couldn't feel. I just couldn't feel anything. I was still operating in the spirit. I was still, you know, helping people. I was still doing the stuff, but I couldn't feel a thing and didn't care. I was dead. I was dead. And I kept seeing a picture, and this is for someone. I kept seeing a picture of me laying in a grave, and I was awake, but I couldn't get out. It was like 6 feet deep, no box, just me in a grave. That's somebody in here. And God came along, and he had Lori actually prayed for me. And she began to pray and 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 pray. And God began to raise me, but then I was standing outside the grave, but I couldn't seem to get out of the graveyard. And then, you know, people came, they kept praying for me, and then I would find my way trying to, you know, because, you know, I was pretty feeble at that point. I was so broken. And I had been so dead on the inside. I'm talking to somebody. And I found my way to the gate of the cemetery, and I couldn't get out of the gate. But then over time, just bit by bit and piece by piece, God began to raise me from the dead. See, because he had always said back in my 20s, I'm 65, when I was in my 20s, there was things he promised me that he would do through me. Some of you have a promise that's decades old, and you know it was God. You know in your guts, you know it was God. And yet you've gone through a terrible death process. But you know what? For me, he told me ahead, you will go through a death process because Holly has to die. Because Holly can't do this. Jesus has to do this. And only Jesus will get the glory. And so he led me through a death process, so at least I understood. That was the only reason I didn't actually physically die. And he raised up in me all the stuff that I could never do. He took Humpty Dumpty and he put him back together again. Remember, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again, but Jesus can.